All right. Good morning, Auburn Grace. We are Oceans of Grace from Chile. So blessed to be with you again. And we are going to worship the Lord this morning. It's a great morning to be in church, right? And we just want to invite you to stand. We're going to pray and just give this time to the Lord. Father, we're so thankful for this opportunity to come together as the church and to lift up your name, Lord. Today is about worshiping as a church, as your representation of your people here on the earth, Lord. It's not just about me, it's about all of us coming together to lift up the name of Jesus. And we just pray that we could have a wonderful morning in your presence, Lord, enjoying being with one another and just celebrating what you have done in our lives, Lord. Thank you for the amazing grace that you've poured out, and we just give this time to you, Lord.
Who breaks the power of sin and darkness? Whose love is mighty and so much stronger? The King of glory, the King above all kings. Shakes the whole earth, shakes the whole earth with holy thunder, and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder. The King of glory, the King above all kings. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place, that you would bear my cross, you would lay down your life, that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Take my place, oh, that you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life that I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me.
Lord, we just thank you for what you've done in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for pouring out so much love, Lord. So much love that we really don't deserve, but we accept it because that's the grace that you've poured out. And Lord, we're just we're thankful. We want to worship you, Lord, this morning for who you are, and for what you've done, and what you'll continue doing, Lord. Thank you for this morning. Church can gather, Lord, and we just pray that you would speak to us, Lord, through this time of worship, Lord, through the different things we're gonna read, Lord. We just pray that your spirit would move, and there would be a time to just gather as a church, be grateful, be thankful for what you're doing, Lord, and we just give this time to you.
Ushers to come forward right now. We're going to pray for the offering and take the offering as the group continues to play. Father, we thank you that we have the privilege of worshiping you. We thank you that we have the privilege of returning to you part of what you've given to us. And we do this as an act of worship. We do this out of gratitude. This is an expression of our love to you. Father, we ask your blessing on our service today. We ask, Father, for your protection for all that's going on with the fires throughout California right now. We pray for protection for those that are fighting the fires. We pray that your grace be with those who have lost homes or are in danger of losing homes. We pray that somehow this would bring others to you, that this would attract attention to you, either through their necessity or through others reaching out to them in your name. So we ask that this disaster, from our perspective, would be used by you to glorify yourself. So we thank you for this service. We ask your blessing on it. Good morning. It hasn't been a partial rapture, but I'm the only pastor on staff here today. So that's why I'm up here. Pastor Dave is on vacation. Pastor Phil is back in Ohio at the Fellowship of Grace Brethren Churches. Pastor Steve is in Las Vegas, and I don't know what's going on there. And so there is something I wanted to say, though. I know that we're looking for a new minister of music. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. So I'm just putting it out there. You guys do with it what you want. I'm very satisfied in the job I have right now. So, you know, but the office is bigger down the hall. Anyway, you talk to Pastor Phil about that. So I get to make the announcements. There are quite a few. The announcements are out in the hall, in the narthex there. There will be a box to make contributions for the Phillips family. They're going to talk about what they're going to do. We're also going to take an offering at the end of the service. So he's going to explain the change in their ministry and who they are and all that. Most of you know who they are, right? But some of you don't, and their ministry is changing their focus a little bit, so we're going to give them a chance to talk about that. Bunko, that used to be, again, there's a Bunko squad. There used to be a Bunko squad on police departments. But somehow our ladies are doing a not your mama's Bunko. See what happens when we bring young people on staff? My sister plays Bunko every month. And I just have to kind of turn a blind eye to that. It sounds like something illegal, but there is a ladies' Bunko connection happening Saturday, August 18th. I think the men are playing poker the next week. At the end of August, we're already getting into August. Can you believe it? I know the teachers are excited about that. It's almost time to go back to school. Isn't that crazy? Wow. So on the 26th of August, we're going to have our annual connection fair, which is the opportunity for everybody to look at the different ministries of the church and decide which ones you want to be a part of, continue on, change. Wednesday Night Live is starting September 5th, so get ready for that. And there is a perspectives class. You guys all know what perspectives is? You guys all think missions. You think globally, right? You think, what is God doing in the world? Or what in the world is God doing? Not just here in Auburn, not just in California, not just in the United States, but how has God moved throughout history? And how can I be a part of that? That's the perspectives class. And that's going to be at Sierra Grace. And there are scholarships available. I took this way back in the 80s. Before we went overseas to Brazil, and it's a great class, and I'm sure it's better now because God's been doing things in the last 30 years. So be a part of that. And the last thing is there are these door hangers that are to be put on doors all through, 95602 or 3-2. And so Mike Robinson has a table out there, and he's got thousands of these. And so all you got to do is go and hang it on the door. So go talk to Mike. He's got a table out there. If you haven't been part of that, if you got your neighborhood and you're in 95602, and it's the Jesus film. All right? So come on up, Gabe.
All right.
This is Gabe. And
thank you.
This is the Phillips band, even though they're not all Phillips. And so I made sure that, because you know how sometimes the members of the band, they don't they don't get any recognition. Not that they're in it for recognition, but they kind of get lumped. Gabe said he's all of their dads, so I don't know how that works. So, Gabe, tell us a little bit about who you guys are.
All right. So this is our band. We've been visiting you guys for the last 4 years at least, and then we came once in 2012. This is my daughter, Sayen. She is on guitar and vocals. Back there is Deborah. She is Eric's wife, and she plays the bass for us. So rocks out. Then we have Claudio in the far back there on the drums. So he's also our sound guy at our local church. Then we have Kai Phillips. He's my son. He's doing keyboards and pads. Over there we have Hector on the other electric guitar. He lives in California, but every time we come up, he just spends time visiting churches with us and just blesses our ministry and also, you know, all of you guys. So give it up for Hector. And we have Eric, my brother. So we're both Jeff Phillips' sons, and I'm sure you've met him before. And yeah, it's great how God allows us to come together and serve the church, both in Latin America and in North America.
So they're traveling around together for 6 weeks, which is one reason for prayer, is they're traveling in cars and staying together for 6 weeks, and that's a good thing. They said they like each other still, they love each other, they're getting along real well. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with your ministry.
All right, so in the past, our focus has been very much reaching out to people in disaster situations because of what happened in Chile. We had a massive earthquake in 2010, followed by a huge tsunami, and that kind of started us coming up just to share with the church the need down there. And so now, you know, 8 years later, over 100 homes have been built. Many people have been loved on, and it's just been awesome to see how you guys as a church have responded. And but now the Lord is actually just taking us in the direction of using our musical talents and our communication and theology to help build up the church. Because when my dad moved there 40 years ago, there was nothing as far as our organization, and it all started in our living room and with a Sunday school. And now there's over 27 churches, I think, in Chile, Ecuador, Peru. And God has allowed us to kind of be a catalyst for the new generation that is looking, you know, for role models, looking for people that are a little bit further ahead in whether, you know, music or technology and music or theology and music. So our transition is changing a little bit into just equipping the church and helping raise up more leaders so that we can continue reaching out in these different countries. So we still work, we still, you know, swing hammers when there's a need, but thankfully we haven't had any fires, any earthquakes lately. They have been up here, so you might need us up here swinging some hammers later. We'd be happy to help. But yeah, God has allowed us to kind of transition into that role now.
Good. Well, that's what we want to see. We want to see reaching into a community that has no church, planning a church, and then empowering the church to reach out to others. So it sounds like you're doing kind of the master plan of evangelism there. That's good. So they're going to be taking care of the service. They're going to be doing music and the word. And so we're going to pray for them and their ministry. Again, at the end of the service, we'll be taking up an offering for their continued travels and for their ministry down there. Let's pray. God, we commit this service to you. We thank you that you are working around the world and that your vision encompasses the world. We want to be part of that, and we thank you for this opportunity to be part of your ministry in Latin America. And we want to join in to worshiping you with saints around the world. And we thank you for the part the Phillips play in planting churches and equipping churches. We ask that you would minister to us through them and through their ministry today. That all that we do would bring attention to you. That we would lift Jesus up. Thank you. His name. Amen.
All right. So I had the opportunity to speak with Pastor Phil this week, and he gave me this crazy idea. It wasn't my idea, but he said, why don't you teach a little bit of worship about, you know, theology and the idea behind it? Because as Christians, we do sing a lot, don't we? But we don't always talk so much about why we sing. And so he said, why don't you talk a little bit and then have some time to worship and then talk a little bit more and have some time to worship? So it's kind of like, let's think about these great ideas that are, you know, biblical and centered around God. And then let's put them into practice. So I don't know if you guys are willing to do that with us this morning. Does that sound fun? It'll be a little bit different service. So the ultimate goal of the New Testament is more worshipers. And we'll tie this in near the end of our time. For us, we think that there's a powerful connection between good theology and good worship, because it actually ends up moving us to a place where we can truly worship God in the way that He desires. But at the same time, it ends up being a powerful testimony to anybody that walks into a church and sees people worshiping God, you know, in spirit and in truth. We don't always think about it, but our worship actually has an evangelistic side to it, because when people walk into your church, before they hear your pastor speak, before, you know, somebody comes up to make sense of it all, they've already drawn a lot of lasting conclusions. So Louis Giglio, who's a pastor out of Atlanta, he says he says, worship is our response, both personal and corporate, to God for who He is and what He has done, expressed in and by the things we say and the way we live. I love that. We worship God first for who He is, then for what He has done, right? And the way that we express it is the things we say, so it can be the singing, the worshiping, but also the way that we live. So this morning we're going to talk about, our two first points are going to be, worship is about declaring the glory of God, okay? That's the first one, and just to get our heads around it, let's read Isaiah 6. We're going to read verses 1 through 4. If you have your Bible, you can open. If not, we have a big one back there. And we're going to come back to this text because it really hits a lot of the ideas that we want to talk about. But it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of His robe filled the temple. And above Him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. But they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, and the whole earth is full of His glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. So Isaiah, this prophet, this man of God, gets this chance, this little glimpse of heaven, right? And what he sees is this holy, 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 this different, separate, awesome God, right? We use the word awesome way too lightly, I think. He sees something incredible, and he's blown away by what he sees. He sees the robe, it just fills the temple, and the bigger the robe was, the more glorious the king was, right? So in our vision, what we get to see through Isaiah's eyes is this beautiful, wonderful king. And I think sometimes in our evangelical tradition, right, we like make Jesus our best friend, which is awesome. Sometimes we forget He's the God of the universe too. And so this passage just helps me get my head around, we're worshiping God for who He is. He is holy, holy, holy. He is separate. He is different than us. He is perfect. And wow, isn't it
awesome that we get the opportunity to worship God for his greatness. You know, when we worship something, we start becoming more like that something, right? And so if we worship idols, we become dead and we become, you know, slaves, and we do things that are really sad. But when we worship the true God, we become to look more like him. We become more his image bearers, which was what he wanted us to do. So we worship God for who he is, first and foremost. And the second point is that our worship is our response to being cleansed and healed. And let's, continuing in the Isaiah passage, and then we're going to look at a little bit of what Jesus said. He said, "Woe to me, I cried, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. And my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." So he's almost thinking, I'm going to die. Like, what I just saw is so amazing. I can barely live after what I saw. And what's interesting to me is he says, I'm a man of unclean lips. But that was his best attribute. He was the golden-tongued prophet. They say that, you know, his book is like a mini Bible with 66 chapters that represent different books. I mean, so if his best thing that he had to offer God was something unclean, it just shows how much better and how much holier and how much more wonderful God is. And we go on, and he says, "Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth, and he said, 'See, this has touched your lips, and your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for.'" And so this is a wonderful passage where there's these ideas about the Trinity and God and his Spirit, and even these pictures of what Jesus was going to do further along. Jesus was the one that could touch our lives in all our brokenness and not be contaminated, but actually cleanse us. And this is wild, because that had never happened. Normally, if you touch something that was not clean, you became unclean. But in Jesus' glory and what he came to do, as he touched something, he would cleanse that something. So I believe that our response in worship should start to reflect how grateful we are for what God has done for us. So first, we worship him for who he is, but we also worship him for what he has done. And before we get into the first set, we're going to play three songs. Let's just think about this one encounter that Jesus had with other people that were unclean. Not like Isaiah. They were actually lepers. They were physically in a place of much suffering, away from their families, alienated from their communities. And so the story is in Luke 17, and we'll read a few of the verses, and it says, "As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, 'Jesus, Master, have pity on us.' When he saw them, he said, 'Go, show yourselves to the priests.' And as they went, they were cleansed." Now, this is really, really important. "One of them, when he was healed, came back. Praising God in a loud voice, he threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan." So the only person that fully understood what Jesus had just done for him, the only person that could come back and in a loud voice and clapping and jumping could say, "I just got healed. I just got cleansed. I get to go back to my family. I get to be part of my community again. I get to be whole again." The only person that understood that was the person coming out from outside of the religious system. That's crazy to me. But I feel like sometimes in our lives, we've grown so accustomed to the fact that Jesus saved us, cleansed us, and we almost feel like we don't need it. Because we come to church, and we even get here on time, you know? And so it's like, I got it together.
But we need to figure out, we need to constantly remind ourselves that we were saved. We were lepers spiritually. We were broken. We were lost. And so I just invite you this morning, as we worship, we're going to sing about God's greatness. We're going to sing about what he has done in our lives. And I just invite you to reflect on what he has done in your life, how he has cleansed you, how he has made you whole again. And let's just let's spend a time in God's presence thinking about this and lifting our voices and our, we can lift our hands if we want. We can close our eyes. You can stand. You can sit. But let's just make it a time to connect with our Father.
I will not forget how
thank you for this time to be in your presence, Lord. We know that we're changed and we're transformed from the inside. We know that when we seek you, Lord, you draw near to us, Lord. And this morning, we just want to worship you, Lord, for who you are. We want to thank you and worship you for what you have done, Lord. Thank you that you saved a wretch like me, Lord. Thank you that you've saved each one of us, Lord. And what a Savior. What a Savior. And this morning, we just center our eyes around Jesus and around that beautiful sacrifice, Lord. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for the good news, Lord. And thank you for this time that we come together to lift up the name of Jesus.
Bow down before. altar.
Oh, come to
the altar.
The Father.
Centering our hearts around who you are, Lord, because we want to make you known on all the earth, Lord. We want you to become famous. We want there to be more worshipers. We want more people that can understand who you are, Lord, and what you can do in their lives. And we're going to continue worshiping. We're going to sing about how great our Lord is.
Are you, Lord, in all the earth?
In a spirit of worship, I just want to touch on two more points. We worship on the good days, and we worship on the bad days. Right? Because ultimately, we know that God is good because of what he did, sending Jesus to die for our sins. And so we worship on the good days, but we also worship on the not-so-good days. And let's go back to that text in Isaiah. Isaiah 1. You know why there's so many details in the Bible? It's not because God wanted it to be longer. It's long enough. But he's always communicating things to us. He's always telling us things. So in this case, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne. So if we just skip past the part where it says in the year that King Uzziah died, we might miss out on what's central to this passage about worship and God. King Uzziah was actually one of the few good kings that Israel had. So if, I mean, David, right? Solomon. He was the wisest man, but he lived kind of foolishly, right? There's a couple other good ones, but Uzziah makes the top five for sure. And you know, he came into power when he was 16 years old, but the difference was that he really sought after God. He searched for God. He desired God. He still makes a mistake near the end, but you know how long he was in power? 52 years. So if there's anyone that's, you know, 50 in here, it's like, who was president? King Uzziah. Who was president? King Uzziah. You know, his whole life. But he did great things. He was good in weapons. He actually invented something like the bow and arrow machine gun. He like found a way to shoot more arrows at once. He brought water into the city. He was just a great, great leader. And so the vision that Isaiah is having is the year that the great leader died. That guy that we thought would never die, you know? And in the midst of this is when King Isaiah is responding in worship, and that worship is holy, 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 but it also fills the earth. So it's a really, really cool thing, and it's easy to slip past it. But we worship God even when a great leader dies. We worship God even when somebody is not healed of cancer, even though we prayed really hard. Because sometimes God is glorified in our suffering. Sometimes God is glorified when a believer, a follower of Jesus, can fully give his life and say, I'm ready to go home. That's hard, right? So we worship God because he is great. We worship him for what he has done. We worship him on the good days and on the bad days. Let me just end with this. Our ultimate response should be, send me. And this is the end of the passage after his lips were cleaned, remember? It says, with it he touched my mouth and said, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for. And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Right? This God, Spirit, Son. And I said, and this is the response of the prophet, here am I, send me. So when you encounter God in a powerful way, and you understand that he just cleansed you, and you are made whole through him, then when he says, who am I going to send? What does the church say? here am I. Send me. But you don't know where you're going yet. He didn't know where he was going. You don't know how much it's going to cost. I'll come and do the not so early shift, right? If it's at a good time and if it's convenient. And maybe if the parking situation is good. And I'll serve. But our response in worship to this holy, wonderful God should be wherever. Send me. My hand's already up. Church needs ushers. My hand's up. We need to go serve at some orphanage. My hand is up. We're taking a team to Chile. My hand's already up. Isn't it amazing to see the response of this man of God? And I just want to encourage you as we sing these next two songs to think about this. We worship on the good days. We worship on the bad days. We're going to start with a little piece of It Is Well With My Soul. How many of you guys know the story behind that song? That guy just lost his four daughters. And his wife had been severely injured to the point where she couldn't walk anymore. And he lost them in a shipwreck. But he still was able to say, it is well with my soul. God is good. And he wrote the part of the chorus right as he was sailing past where his daughter's ship shipwrecked. And so that's when, wow, God is good because he sent his son. And I can be sure of it no matter what happens here on earth. And so as we sing, we're going to sing a couple songs. And I just want to invite you to stand. It will be a time to worship. It will be a time to center our minds around this idea that we worship on the good days. We worship on the bad days. And we are ready. We are ready to whatever it is that he has called us.
It is well with my soul.
The ultimate goal of the New Testament is more worshipers. Here I am, send me. All it takes for that is a little bit of faith. And maybe it's in your own home that you need to preach the gospel. Maybe it's in your own community. Maybe it's in a different part of the United States. Maybe it's to the ends of the world. But all it takes is a little bit of faith to say, here I am, send me. Lord, may our response in worship lead the church to reaching out beyond these walls, Lord, to having faith and saying, I believe that you will do it again. Maybe you served sometime when you were younger. Maybe you served when it was more convenient. Lord, I pray that the church would rise up and serve no matter when, no matter where, because we are called to be people of peace and people that take the gospel and the good news. And Lord, we just pray that as we sing this song, do it again. Lord, that our hearts would be stirred and moved to a place of faith so that we could respond and say, send me.
thought by now they'd fall. But you have never failed me yet. Waiting for change to come. Knowing the battle's won. For you have never failed me yet. The senior promise still stands. Promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness. Faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. You are confident. Still in your hands.
Give you an opportunity to support the ministry. Thank you guys so much. That was very good. They're going to be traveling all around, and we want to contribute. We want to thank God for their ministry. Thank God for using them, both here in the United States and around the world. Father, thank you. Thank you that we can trust you in the good times and in the bad times. Thank you that our response, we can worship you even when we don't understand what's happening. We know what you've done for us. So we thank you for that. We ask you to bless the Phillips in their ministry. Keep them safe on the roads. Supply every need that they have. Bless their ministry of encouraging others to worship you in good and in bad. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll finish with one last song and just lift up the name of Jesus.
May your glory be revealed.
our songs and sharing some scriptures. We just pray a blessing over this church as you continue to impact this community. Thank you so much, and may God bless you guys. Thank you for your love and your generosity towards us as well. And service is over. You're dismissed. God bless you.